do this however you want to? Or was there some instruction that was given so that there was no doubt in the minds of the people, this is what God expects me to do? Which do you think that it was? The latter. Yeah, the latter. For example, open your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. And we're not going to cover, obviously, in 30 minutes, every reference in the Old Testament concerning tithing and giving. But I do want to point out Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Notice that Moses penned, "At that time the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to minister unto Him, and to bless in His name unto this day. Wherefore Levi hath no part nor inheritance with his brethren. The Lord is his inheritance, according as the Lord thy God promised him." What do we learn from that? Well, obviously, we know that the children of Israel, these tribes were going to go into the land of Canaan. They were going to possess that land, a land that flows with milk and honey. God had promised them, this is going to be your land. I want to drive out your enemies. And you're going to have this land. And that land was to be divvied up, divided up according to those tribes. But relative to the tribe of Levi, what portion of the land did they possess?
None.
Well, why not? What's that? What does that verse tell us?
They
didn't
want to be taken care of by God.
The Lord is their inheritance. Well, I mean, you stop right there. There's still probably more questions to be asked than to be answered out of those two verses. How are they going to sustain themselves? Where are they going to dwell? Everyone else is going to have houses that their hands did not build and vineyards of which their hands did not plant and so forth. What about the Levites? God is their inheritance. But the Bible answers that for us as we go through it. If I were to ask you, what was the tithing for? What would you say? We know the Bible talks about tithing. We're going to get to that, but what was it for?
To take care of the priests.
Take care of the priests? What other thoughts might you have about that? Not that our thoughts are always right, but what comes to mind when you think about what those tithes were for? Let's think about that as we go through here. Turn, if you will, to Numbers chapter 18. Numbers 18. And again, I just want you to see the point here that God was specific about what the people were to do. God was specific about how much they were to give. God was specific about what that was to be used for. And He expected His people to comply with that. Numbers 18, and let's begin with verse number 20. "And the Lord spake unto Aaron, thou shalt have no inheritance in their land." Now, who is Aaron? He's a priest, and from what tribe would? Yeah, from the tribe of Levi. Now, we just read from the book of Deuteronomy that the tribe of Levi was to have no possession, that God was their inheritance. "Neither shalt thou have any part among them. I am thy part and thine inheritance among the children of Israel. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Neither must the children of Israel henceforth come nigh the tabernacle of the congregation, lest they bear sin and die." Verse 23. "But the Levites shall do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they have no inheritance." Okay, so that's established that they had no inheritance, but again, how were they going to be maintained?
The tithes.
He just made that point, didn't he? He just said what that tithe was to be used for. By the way, someone may say, "Well, preacher, I don't understand what the word tithe means." The word tithe actually comes from a Hebrew word that meant a tenth. And then later it came from another word or a compound of word that means to give unto the Lord. But he makes that point. Now notice verse 24, but the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer as an heave offering unto the Lord, I have given to the Levites to inherit. Therefore I have said unto them, among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then ye shall offer up a heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Again, how much was a tithe? A tenth. How much ended up making it an offering unto the Lord?
That'd be 10 cents to the dollar, wouldn't it?
10% was to be given to the Levites, and then from that tenth, what was to be offered to the Lord? A tenth. Well, folks, you don't hear that today, do you? When people talk about tithing, and we're going to get to the New Testament just tomorrow, but a lot of these preachers today, they'll talk about tithing. They'll say, give 10% of your paycheck or whatever the case may be. And a lot of times, they get it all. But, you know, under the Old Testament economy with the Jewish people, that's not what happened. The tenth was given for a particular work, and then a tenth of that was given to the Lord. And you can read on through verse 32 as you think about tithing and studying that topic. But that's not the only giving that was to be offered to God. In Exodus 30, verses 11 through 16, in addition to that, the males from 20 years old and upward had to also give. What were they commanded to give? You recall what they were commanded to give in that passage? Exodus 30. I heard something. Okay, so they had to give a shekel, right, or half shekel. One source says that was equivalent to 2 days' wages. I don't know if it was or not. But they also had to give, and what was the reason for that giving? Notice verse 14. Everyone that passeth among them that are numbered from 20 years old and above shall give an offering unto the Lord. The rich shall not give more, the poor shall not give less than half a shekel, when they give an offering unto the Lord to make an atonement for your souls. And thou shalt take the atonement money of the children of Israel and shall appoint it for what? For the service of the tabernacle. What's the point? Now that we're 15 minutes into this class, my point is that in the Old Testament, God expected his people to give. And he was specific about giving. He was specific about who was to receive that. He was specific about how much was to be dedicated to him of that much. And he was specific as to what that money was to be used for. Suppose one of the Levites would have came in and said, well, I know that that's what the text says. I know that that's what God's word says, but you know what? People have been feeling a little bit down lately. Here we've had these battles. We're trying to get to the promised land, or now that we're in the promised land, we're kind of feeling a little bit down about some things. Why don't we have some social activities, and we'll take of that tithe, of that 10%, and we'll just throw us a party, and we'll just eat, drink, and be merry. You think the Lord would have been pleased with that? Why not? It sounds like maybe it might be a good idea. Here we are feeling down, and we've gained, but what'd be a little bit wrong with that? Someone said, nothing wrong with us getting together and enjoying one another's company and fellowship.
Not the purpose.
Not the purpose.
He was specific about what he had commanded.
Right. It's summed up in this. There was no authority for the doing of that. You agree with that? Now, they could get together if they wanted to, and they could say, hey, let's go over to Bob's house, and let's socialize a little bit. They could do that if they wanted to. Aaron and Moses, they could have got together and on an individual basis done any of that. You see the point? God told them what to give. He told them how much to give, for what purpose that they were to give that money for. What does that have anything at all to do with the New Testament?
Everything.
I want to drive that point home, that we have to have authority for what we do. Even in the New Testament, God has expected His people to be givers. Are we under the Old Testament law of Moses today? Yes or no? No.
We're not under, but we're supposed to keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, it says, the whole duty of man, fear God and keep His commandments.
That's right. Keep His commandments. That's right. And Abraham, under that covenant that he had with God, kept those commandments under that dispensation. Moses, under that dispensation, and the children of Israel were expected to keep that covenant, right?
Amen.
And today, this side of the cross, we're expected to keep the commandments of God as laid out under the perfect law of liberty, which we'll talk about for a little bit in just a moment, and then deal with a little bit more in the sermon this morning. But today, individuals have the idea that we are under one continuous covenant, that God gave the covenant on Mount Sinai, and that is the same covenant that we live under today. And that's just not the case. God didn't make it with you. God didn't make it with me. He made it with the Jews on Mount Sinai. Gave it to Moses. Moses delivered it to the people. And again, I've gave you the reference over and over before, and it's relevant now, Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. How that God made that covenant with them, their fathers. And He said, I'm going to make a new covenant. And then the book of Hebrews deals with that. Well, we come to the New Testament. And we still find that God expects that His people give for a particular purpose. You see, those things under the Old Testament law demanded that an offering be made. Here they had the tabernacle. Those things need to be upkept. Here they had the Levites. They had needs. And God made provision for that to be taken care of through what? Through the tithe. You know, this side of the cross, there are things that demand, that necessitate, that an offering be made from God's people. We're authorized to have a place in which we can meet together. Are we not? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 talks about us meeting together, and therefore it's authorized that we can have a place to meet together. Well, that necessitates that it be upkept. And so we have to assemble together. The Word of God is to be taught, to be preached. Jesus gave that commission, Matthew chapter 28. Well, that necessitates that funds be taken up so that can be carried out. And so forth. We could talk about benevolence, about edification, and so forth, as we're given the task to help needy saints. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, which you're very familiar with, a passage we're going to look at a few things before our time this morning is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 and 2. Someone read that for us. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2.
Now concerning the collections of the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, store an evidence that may prosper, that there be no collection when I come.
Okay. So here he talks about this giving. Someone says, well, we don't have to give. Well, this is not the only reference, by the way, that talks about us giving or about the Christians who gave. But notice what he says, as I give an order to the churches of Galatia, even so to you. Upon when?
First day of the week.
Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. We could stop there and teach a sermon on those two particular references. Yes, they gave to alleviate the needs of others. Money that was collected to be given to needy saints. We read about that in Acts 11 and other places as well. We'll deal with some of those references in just a moment. But suppose we got together and we said, listen, it's Tuesday night. Let's take up a free will offering, as someone may call it. I grant you, it is something we give out of ready mind, that we are freely giving this to the Lord. But when did the Lord say, through the pen of the Apostle Paul, to do that? First day of the week. That's when he commanded. He could have used any day of the week that he wanted to, if God saw fit. But he said, not on the first day of the week. Someone says, well, that's just because they were going to be together anyway. Well, God knows more about it than we do. And God said, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. So guess what we're going to do in just a little while when our worship begins? We're going to give. Christians here are going to give as God has prospered them, being the first day of the week. Well, my question is, do we have authority to give any other time of the week? Someone says, well, that's a good thing. Why not? Why don't we just give on Friday and why not Saturday?
I think we should help anybody that needs it. We can help sinners in order to get them to come to Christ. Maybe. We need to help the saints if they need it.
As an individual, we can help those who are not Christians on an individual basis. And we'll look at some of those references.
Or if someone says, okay, we do give on the first day of the week, but we also, when we feel like it, decide to take up a free will offering on Wednesday.
Here's a question. Where's the authority? Right? You see, the Bible tells us that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Are you with me? That's what he says. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. He's given us all things, not some things, not part of the things. And we're to do all things by the authority of Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 talks about. He didn't say part by his authority. He didn't say a few things by his authority. He said all things by the authority of Christ. And if he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Bible, then if God expected me to give into a common collection on Friday evening, as Rose pointed out, or at some other time, surely I could pick up the book of books and read about it. That's a fair question, is it not? It's fair. If I say that I can, then I ought to be able to pick it up and put my finger on it. Upon the first day of the week. Someone says, well, Donnie, if we do that every week, that in partaking of the Lord's Supper, I'll use for an example. We do that every week, right? Acts chapter 20, verse 7. I had a co-worker that once told me, she said, we don't do that where I go every week because it loses its significance if we do it every week. I said, how often you take up a collection? She said, every week. I said, why doesn't the collection lose its significance then? You see, that doesn't determine whether we do something just because we think it loses its significance. We do it because the Lord said to do it. Amen. And so we give into a common collection so that the work of the church can continue. By the way, the work of the church is summed up in three areas that we don't have time to cover this morning, but what are they? Evangelism, spreading of the gospel, is what that means. Edification and benevolence. Those are the only three areas of which this common treasure is authorized to be used. You know why we know that? Because we can open the Bible and read about that. And the Bible is our standard of authority. So in the New Testament, God expects his people to give into a common treasure for a particular reason, as we just pointed out. But now the question is, under the Old Testament system, the Jews were required to give 10%. Now the question is, which is a fair question, now that I'm under this side of the cross, the perfect law of liberty. By the way, the Old Testament, as we talked about, was done away with when Jesus died on the cross. Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 talks about that. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 9 says, he took away the first that he may establish the second. That second, the law of Christ, is what we live under today. But it's a fair question now that I understand that I have to give today. Now that I understand that God expects me to give on the first day of the week, well, the fair question is, how much do I give? As hath been prospered. Well, how do I know then what to give? Again, those are legitimate questions, and questions which, by the way, that we each need to answer for ourselves. As God has prospered. By the way, do you give as you've been prospered? Do I give as I've been prospered. You need to keep that in check. And so if God prospers us abundantly, how should our giving be? Abundantly. But you know, that doesn't always happen, right? And it's easy to fall into a habit of where our giving does not match our receiving from the Lord, doesn't it? We get caught up in living and everyday life, and life happens, and before you know it, we've stretched every penny just as far as it'll go, and then here we are, and I know that God expects me to give, but I've obligated myself in so many areas. We've got to be careful with that. I'll give you a little rule of thumb that'll help us with that, and I begin with myself, and we each need to do that. Give to God off the top and not off the bottom, and you'll never have that problem. You'll never have that problem, and I won't either. If we know, and sometimes people say, well, we live on a limited income. Well, I live on a limited income too, and I know what it's going to be every week. And we need to purpose, this is what I'm going to give to God, and if I prosper more, I can give more, and adjust it when we can. But folks, if we spend, and then at the end of the day, here comes Sunday, and I pull my wallet down, and I look in there, and I'm like, There's nothing there. Maybe I need to rethink that. Because, you see, we understand that I don't have in this life as a result of my own hands. Now, we try to take credit for it all the time, don't we? We try to say, well, you know, look here, I have bettered myself. I have got me a great job. I have labored with my hands. You know, there was a danger that the children of Israel would do that as well. And God specifically told them through the prophet Moses, when you go into the promised land and you begin to enjoy all those things that you didn't labor for, that you didn't plant, you didn't build, beware lest thou, what? Forget the Lord thy God. And today, sometimes we labor and we think, look at what I have, and then before you know it, we've forgotten about God. We need to give, and we need to purpose. Here's some rules that we can use to give into that common treasure. We need to give regularly, on an ongoing basis. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 necessitates that be done. Did he not? Upon what day of the week? Someone said, he didn't say the first day of every week. We've studied that argument before, right? Suppose the Jews would have said, yes, he said, thou shalt keep the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but he didn't say every Sabbath day. That won't work, will it? The Jews understood that every week had a Sabbath, and we understand that every week has a first day. And the Lord said, on the first day of the week, let every one of you give to God as he has been prospered. Number two, as we've been prospered, which we talked about. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 7, is a passage in the New Testament that talks about our giving. Verses 6 and 7. It looks like we have about 5 minutes, and we'll finish these up. And I want to give you some additional references that you can study. 1 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also, what? Reap sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And that's in our individual giving, but that would also apply to our giving to the Lord. Now notice what he says, verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We could stop there and make several observations about some rules to guide us in our giving. That we ought to give as we purposed in our heart. Did we purpose, or is it just by convenience? Spare the moment. I didn't purpose anything. I just got here. Whatever I could dig down in here and give, well, that's what I came out with. Might come out with anything. Or nothing at all. Purpose in our heart. And he goes on to say, let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. Don't give simply because God said to give, which is a good reason to give. God said to do it. But don't try to put it into the plate and at the other side, your other hand is trying to pull it back. Don't do that. Don't give with a grudging heart, for God loveth what? A cheerful giver. We ought to be happy to do that. And listen, we will never outgive God. We'll never outgive God. Even if we gave all of our possessions, we have still never outgiven God. Think about that. And God doesn't ask us to give all of our possessions to Him. He asks us to yield our will to His and our life to Him. But God just says, simply give as He has prospered us. He knows we have familial opportunities and so forth. And even when we look at it from that perspective.
Well, He said He'd open the windows of heaven and pour out more blessings upon us than we could even receive.
That's right. Prove me, He said. Yeah. Prove me therewith. But at any rate, He's given us His Son who shed His blood for us, for the sins of the whole world, 1 John 2 and verse 2. Now, a host of other passages talk about that. But to give in that manner, we ought to be happy to do that. We ought to be happy that we can contribute, the Christians here, can contribute to this collection so that the gospel can be shared with those in this community and even beyond. And that the needs of those indigent members can be met. And that we can edify one another through the faith, the preaching of the gospel. We just finished a gospel meeting, and that's one of the purposes of that meeting. And so the saints can be edified through the faith, through the preaching of the gospel, and sinners can hear God's word proclaimed. A lot more could be said about giving. Time just doesn't allow us to do that. But I do want to give you some references that you can study in our time remaining and that establishes for us a pattern as to what the funds are to be used for and for what purpose that they were given. The first one I want to point out to you is in Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. We don't have time. The second bell's about to ring, but you can write these down and study them at home. Acts chapter 2, 44 and 45. Acts chapter 4 and verse 32. Acts 4, 32. Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. Acts 11, 27 through 30. Romans 15, 25 through 32. Romans 15, 25 through 32. And 1 Corinthians chapter 16, as we've looked at this morning, verses 1 and 2. And in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 1, and that will keep you busy for a while. If you missed any of those, I'm happy to give those to you if I went a little bit quick on those. But let us always look to God's Word in everything that we do, that we'll do what God said in just the manner that God said to do it, that will be pleasing to Him. After all, He's the one that we want to please, right?
Amen.
Paul said in Galatians chapter 1, verse 10, "For do I now seek to please men or persuade men or God? For if I yet please men," Paul said, "I should not be the servant of Jesus Christ." We want to please God in all things. I appreciate your good attention.